Fond du Lac County Sheriff Ryan Welchman is joining us this morning. Good morning, Sheriff.
Good morning, Bob.
Your guys and gals got an early start this morning. Can you tell us a little bit about that wild chase out of Rosendale this morning?
Yeah, we had another wild chase, extremely high speeds. We had one a week and a half ago on a Sunday that was also out in the western portion of the county out toward Rosendale, and that speed or the speeds involved in that chase were also well over 100 miles an hour. But early this morning, about 2:20 in the morning, we were notified from agencies to the north of us, including out of Gamey and then Winnebago County, of a vehicle heading southbound at an extremely high rate of speed and last seen exiting 41 on 26. So we had a deputy set up north of the village of Rosendale and other deputies further south of that position on Highway 26. And that first deputy north of Rosendale had the vehicle on radar at 130 miles an hour at 2:30 in the morning on 26. And as we know, Highway 26 is a two-lane state highway with a 55 mile an hour speed limit. And so he, pulled out, but at 130, when a car goes by you, they're going to get quite a jump on you. And the vehicle barely slowed down through the village of Rosendale. And this was really even before the pursuit was heavily on, but it was just a speeding bullet, flying down that highway. And so we had deputies set up, like I said, south of Rosendale, and effectively deployed stop sticks down near Highway TC. And then the vehicle just continued with flat tires, continued to the south toward Waupun now, and ultimately ended up at the dead end where Highway 26. There's that big interchange near just north of Waupun where Highway 26 has a ramp that leads to Highway 151 toward Madison. And but instead, the vehicle continued south on 26, which the highway basically ends. It ends at a town road, frontage road, and the vehicle then went off-roading through some fields and then started getting close to a residential neighborhood through the fields. And so our deputies attempted basically makeshift pit maneuver type maneuvers, trying to redirect this car that was, headed toward homes in the middle of the night through the middle of fields, and ultimately disabled and eventually blocked in the vehicle, got it surrounded with squad cars. Several squads sustained damage, but ultimately then it turned into basically a standoff. The female and lone occupant, 28-year-old female from Green Bay, refused commands to get out of the car, and eventually we used a Halligan tool to break a window to get access to her. She continued to struggle, taser deployed, continued to struggle, and ultimately finally taken into custody. So pretty serious chase, and she was going to do whatever it took to try to get away and resist arrest, but we were able to get her into custody, and thankfully, nobody was injured or killed in this chase at these speeds, and she wasn't going to stop for anything. And really, if she wouldn't have been stopped by deputies, the likelihood of her crashing or injuring or killing somebody else was very high. And her GPS was set for the state of Colorado, so we believe she was navigating to Colorado, and that's what she told us she was doing. But as far as the speeds involved, didn't have a good explanation for that. So luckily nobody injured. And other than squad car damage, we don't have any other injuries to deputies, the suspect, or innocent civilians or residents in the area.
That's quite the story, but not the reason we got you on today.
that was just another pursuit of many that we have month after month in this county for whatever reason. So, yeah. But we could talk about, I know you wanted to talk about the jail, so we could certainly talk about that too. That's a hot topic in the county right now as well, and a big project for the county board right now. It's in, it lies in their hands, and what we're going to do as a county lies in the hands of the county board, and we've been assisting them with that. So what would you like to know?
Well, what are the misnomers about the project? You're hearing some numbers out there, and I think that was the first consultant threw those out, but those were just guesstimates, right?
Yeah, the number, I know it got labeled a $400 million project, but it's not. So the misnomer with that is where that number was derived from. And let me start with where we are today, or where the county board is today. They have not even hired an architect yet. In fact, next week, the county will be opening bids from architectural firms who are interested in doing design work for the county board, ultimately with the design or designs, plural, that the county board chooses to pursue. We don't even have an architect yet, much less a design, which then when there is a design or designs created, then those designs are used to firm up a price based on that design, because you could, well, you could build a $1 billion jail if you want it. You know, I mean, there's ways to do that, and that's not any of our goal. That's not the county board's goal. Certainly, the goal is to design as fiscally responsible of a facility that is as efficient as possible from a manpower or staffing perspective as well. And ultimately, what the least expensive solution is with all in, meaning not just the construction costs, but then the operational costs it takes to operate, because each option that the county board's exploring right now comes with a different operational expense. And we need to know that too, because ultimately that operational expense is a taxpayer-funded portion of this project as well. And so we need to identify construction costs once we have a design or designs, and then the operational expense associated with each design, meaning the staffing it takes to operate that design and that vision. And then that creates a total cost to, you know, the county's budget. And then explore those options and, look for ways, like I said, to be as efficient as possible, to reduce costs. Value engineer the facility to make it as whatever that facility is going to be, and wherever that facility is going to be, they're looking at really two different sites, and then drill down from there, as squeeze out the greatest amount of savings we can, but also to solve for all of the issues and all of the conditions of the existing jail and all of the issues in that existing jail that exist. And that $400 million number was created through the ad hoc committee, which over a year ago, the county convened an ad hoc committee that had private citizens, some county board supervisors, the sheriff's, our chief deputy, Kevin Galski, was in that ad hoc committee because he, prior to becoming chief deputy, he was jail administrator for 12 years. So he's got a very extensive knowledge of the jail and its operations. And like I said, the private citizens, business owners, numerous people, Kat Griffith, who's a county board supervisor in the Ripon area, she was on this ad hoc committee. And one of the questions is they took a deep dive into this and explored many different options. I mean, they looked at across the street to the south building from the current jail, across the street over Veterans Park to the north. They looked at the highway department property or the site on the south side of Fond du Lac adjacent to the highway department off of Highway 151. That land was purchased in 2021 by the county board with the intent of a jail and justice facilities or public safety facilities out there. So that is that option was explored, and they looked at a whole slew of different things. But one of the questions that was asked by that ad hoc committee was, what kind of numbers could we be talking if we went all in, built everything new, and built it well, well-furnished, well-designed, or, what is the highest, what are we talking, worst-case scenario? And so it was rough math done by the consulting firm that said, about this many courtrooms and office, about this much square foot of office space and non-jail space times this much, this many dollars per square foot, rough construction costs, plus I'm going to pad it for inflation, because at that time when they were requesting that number, inflation was much higher than it is today. And I'm going to pad it a little bit because we don't know what the tariff, this was before the tariffs really ramped up and we didn't know where the tariffs, issues we're going to go with the country and the tariffs being threatened, you know, on other countries and by other countries. And so there was a very conservative estimate done. And so they did that math, the square foot times cost per square foot, very conservatively equaled a certain number. And then they said, and a jail of roughly this size times this many means you need about this many square feet to meet Department of Corrections code for the jail square footage space and inmate space times X number of dollars, again, with an inflationary conservative estimate and a tariff conservative estimate equals another dollar amount. And then they added those $2 amounts together and said, well, you could be, you know, worst case scenario, $392 million. And that was it. That was where that number was derived from. It was not derived from any design, any, you know, structural vision or anything like that. It was a very rudimentary estimate simply for that ad hoc committee as they worked through looking at all the options. Now, that's not to say it won't come to fruition to be that much. I mean, that was over a year ago. You know, inflation continues to increase every month that goes by. Construction and inflation continues to increase. But we won't know until we know, and we're not going to know what a firm price is until a design is done, which is the next step that the county board is working on. And in February, it will be on the county board's agenda to potentially hire an architectural firm. It will likely take an architectural firm months to actually create design or designs, depending on what the county board wants to see for potential construction design options. And then from there, firms, you know, construction firms can then estimate based on an actual design what that structure could cost.
Hate to say it, but we've run on out of time.
All right. Well, real quick, I just want to add there, just so people know and understand, what a part of this process that comes is once we have design options selected, identified, prices associated with that, it has always been the intent of the county and the county board to have public listening sessions held all around the county. So what will happen is every tax parcel, every taxpayer in the county will receive a postcard in the mail that says, you know, there is a potential jail project or justice center project or, you know, court project, whatever, you know, they're looking at as options once those are selected. You know, here are the locations and dates and times of the public listening sessions with all the information. There will be a public website with all this information on it if people can't make the meetings or the public listening sessions. And that is yet to come long before any final decision is made. The county board wants people's input. And the people really, ultimately, everybody wants to know, how is it going to affect me? And that is yet to come, yet to be determined. You know, and we're not there yet, but that is coming. So people stay tuned, you know, people can stay tuned and watch for that as well. A lot more to come yet.
All right. And that's as good an answer as we can get. So thank you very much, Ryan, for joining us this morning.
Okay. Thanks for having me, Bob.
That is Fond du Lac County Sheriff Ryan Waldschmidt joining us here on the Morning Wake. We appreciate him joining us. We appreciate you joining us as well.